For a thoughtful runner, life's ultimate question is not, will I win this race, but rather, when I die, will I live again? That's the provocative question Job raised several thousand years ago. And that question still haunts men and women today. Surely, this brief life is not all there is. Something deep down inside cries out for a sense of long-term meaning. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues our series, God, Why Me?, with more of his message, Jesus, Please Answer Job, a search for answers to those really big questions.
What he's saying is, if a man dies, will he live? This is a question of continuity. Is there something on the other side of the grave, or is this all that there is? Was Bertrand Russell right, that great atheist, when he says that when we die, suddenly all will be dark? It'll be dark, we will be extinct, and there's nothing that survives the moment. Job is saying, if a man dies, will he live again? And he begins to contemplate the question, really, of immortality. You'll notice that Jesus Christ is a perfect answer to Job. Of course, as we come to the New Testament, it is as if God just throws those shutters open and the light of revelation comes to us, and all of the truths that are found as seeds in the Old Testament suddenly break forth as planted trees in the New. And Jesus standing at the tomb of Lazarus. You'll recall that he said, Lazarus, come forth, and he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus standing there said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Immortality, yes. If a man dies, shall he live? Yes, he shall live. Let me ask you something. Why is that important to Job? Because, you see, when you're going through suffering, you begin to ask the question, is there going to be an opportunity for resolution? What if I die in this suffering? What if the cancer that my doctor told me about is permanently mine, therefore my life is going to be very temporary? What if there's an accident? What if my life remains unfinished and there's unfinished business? And what about all the injustices that were due me? And what about all the fulfillment in my heart that has never been satisfied? People today teach that everybody who has a fulfillment in his heart or a desire in his heart should find fulfillment. Well, I'll tell you, there are many people who don't. Many people who don't, many people who can't. They are in circumstances where they must live with the frustration of desires and aptitudes that are unsatisfied. The question is, will there be an opportunity to resolve this at some later time? The answer of Christ and of the New Testament is yes, yes, because if a man dies, he shall continue to live. You see, it's that began to give Job hope. I remember reading a story of a swimmer, a young woman who was trying to swim many, many miles, something like the English Channel, which I believe is about 26 miles. And as the boat that was with her was going along, she asked to be taken out of the water. She became too weary, and so they put her into the boat. And as she looked then from within the boat, she could see the shore. It was much closer than she realized. And she regretted later having given up, because she said, if only I had seen the shore, I think I could have made it the whole way. And when we open the pages of the New Testament and we find out that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and the suffering of this present world is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us, suddenly we begin to realize that we can see the shore, and so we can make it. My dear friend, today, in your loneliness, in your heartache, in your depression, in your sense of worthlessness that may have been imposed upon you for whatever reason, in all of the anxieties that are not working out, the promotion that you had in your hand, but it slipped through your fingers, in the injustices that take place in the workplace where others are promoted above you, because they perhaps are doing some things that aren't right, or they are friends with the boss. Whatever it may be, I want you to rejoice today that the Bible teaches that we can see the shore. And because we can see the shore, we can make it. Job's first cry is a cry of reconciliation. Oh, that I would have a mediator who could put his hand upon us both. Job's second cry is a cry for preservation. What he's saying is, oh, I want to outlast this life so that I will have an opportunity to make up in the life to come and to find the answers in the life to come that I'm not getting in this life. There's a third cry, and that is in chapter 19, verse 25. It is really a cry for God. It is a cry for realization, reconciliation, preservation, and now realization. Job says, oh, if only I were to see God someday. And this is surely one of the most beautiful texts that we can find anywhere in the Old Testament. And it is buried in one of Job's agonizing speeches. As you read these passages, you notice that from time to time, Job throws out those pearls in the midst of the despair, in the midst of the pain, the misunderstanding, the vacillation between good thoughts and bad thoughts. And he says in verse 25, as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, you remember Job had boils from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, and so he's going through this very excruciating time of pain and itching and sores. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom mine eyes shall see, and not another. My heart faints within me. Here we have the glimmer of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that my Redeemer lives. The Hebrew word is Goel, G-O-E-L in English, and it means kinsman redeemer. It's the word that is used in the book of Ruth, where in the Old Testament, if you wanted to redeem someone from slavery, you needed a relative to do it. Someone who was related to you, who would be willing to pay in your stead so that you could go free. And that was a redeemer. And Job says here, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at last, he is going to stand upon the earth. The Hebrew literally says upon the dust. He is going to come here to this earth. Now, I need to tell you that interpreters of the Bible are divided on how to understand the expression, from my flesh I shall see God. The problem is that the Hebrew expression can be translated in one of two ways, and each way is permissible. One way is to say that without my flesh I shall see God. That would be consistent with the construction that is here. And Job is saying, therefore, that my body is going to die, it's going to be in the grave, but even apart from my flesh, in the realm of spirit, when my soul survives the body, I shall yet see God. I shall see my Redeemer. It's possible that that's what he meant. The other interpretation is to say that in my flesh, I shall see God, and that means that Job is already anticipating, really, the resurrection. Job is saying, in effect, that even when I die, I'm going to be raised, and in my flesh, and you'll notice he seems to have that meaning because he says it's going to be with my eyes, I shall see God. I shall see my Redeemer, and I shall see God. What a prediction that is made by this man who had so little revelation to go on. It's almost as if here the Holy Spirit of God inspired him to be able to say that a day is coming when Christ the Lord will come as Redeemer. And may I say, just in case you might be confused about this, the reason that we anticipate Job being in heaven and us being together with him is because of the coming of Jesus Christ. Thousands of years later, Jesus Christ will come to the banks of the Jordan River, and John the Baptist will say, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." And Jesus Christ will die on that cross, and he will make a ransom for those who have not yet been born, namely you and me. And he will gather up our sins and make a ransom for us. But he will also gather up the sins of all the Old Testament saints, Job and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, because you see, their sin needs to be permanently put away too, and without that sacrifice, there is no redemption. And so the sins of Job were also going to be laid upon Christ. And the reason that God can communicate with Job even back in these days is because Job and the Old Testament saints were saved, as it were, on credit. God says, "I know that Christ is coming, and in anticipation of his coming, I will already forgive you and communicate with you. Your mediator will come, and because he will come, I will communicate with you right now." So Job says, "I know that someday my Redeemer will come." And he goes on to imply that he understands that this Redeemer will be God. What I'd like to do is to give you two statements as we conclude and as we try to put this in focus. First of all, I want you to notice that difficult questions in life, difficult questions always lead us to ultimate questions. They lead us to ultimate questions.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I want to thank you today for joining us, and I know that you're going to have to join us next time as I complete this message and explain what I mean by how the questions of life lead us to more difficult and more rewarding questions, actually. But for this time, I want to simply conclude by thanking you for your support of our media ministry. It is because of people like you that we are able to share the gospel with tens of thousands of people. And as you write to us or connect with us on the internet, please keep in mind that this ministry is supported by listeners like you. We're thankful for all of our partners, and I do hope also that you'll get a series of messages, this series, that will be a blessing to you and help others in the trials of life.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has given us part two of Jesus, Please Answer Job, another message in his series, God, Why Me? Monday, don't miss the conclusion of this look at the big issues, such as life after death. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This eight-part series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about God Why Me when you call. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us Monday for our next Running to Win.